From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of The Fischko Files. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
You're going to win. I know it.
May I have the envelope, please?
Picture is a hit.
Shh. And the winner is Joan Crawford.
I would rather be here with you than anywhere else in the world.
That's the famously campy, really evocative, basically unforgettable performance by Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. It's an impression, but it's more than that. It's a wildly over-the-top performance, which somehow captures a wildly over-the-top Hollywood character.
No wire hangers! What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire?
Can you ever think of Joan Crawford anymore without thinking about that movie? Sometimes actors just connect with their subjects in some strange way. Mommy Dearest is not the most artful film ever made, but the portrait is indelible. There are plenty of ways to go for an actor whose job it is to portray a real person. It's different from a role an actor creates from the page, from nothing. And it has special challenges for the actors whose real-life roles have risen to the top this year, the most astonishingly shining one being Philip Seymour Hoffman as Truman Capote.
Yeah, I've decided on a title for my book. I think you like it. It's very masculine. It's In Cold Blood. Isn't that good?
There's an interesting current example.
Actor Ron Liebman.
Because Capote was known. So his interpretation had to be fairly accurate, not only internally, but externally, because that was such a specific voice and persona.
Liebman knows whereof he speaks. The actor, who is also now head of the acting department at the New School for Drama, played the part of the very real Roy Cohn, Joe McCarthy's counsel and one of the true villains in that period, in the original stage production of Angels in America.
In terms of American history, he was someone I rather detested on a lot of visceral personal reasons.
How do you play a real-life character you despise? Liebman did what great actors do. He attacked the role from inside out.
Since he was in a major denial most of his life about his sexuality, that's not my major denial, but I had to confront my own major denials in order to portray that depth of denial. And I was also going to have to confront a lot of self-hatred. Who the hell wants to do that 8 times a week?
Then he worked on what he calls the externals.
I went back and I watched, which I didn't want to do, which I didn't want to imitate. But he had this voice. He had this sort of Bronx. He was from the Bronx. There was a time when people from the Bronx were more nasal and people from Brooklyn were more guttural. But he had that very kind of, my name is Roy Marcus. I have liver cancer.
Roy Marcus Cohen, you are a... Go on, Henry, it starts with an H.
I'm not going
to... With an H, Henry.
And that seemed to work.
Say, Roy Cohn, you are a homosexual, and I will proceed systematically to destroy your reputation and your practice.
Maybe it was that mask that helped me free some of the stuff, because some of it was so painful that if I said it like myself, maybe it wouldn't have been able to get it out.
I make $4,000 a week now, Ma. Do you know that?
Some of the most impressive work along these lines, though, has been from actors who did something totally mysterious to evoke the real person in question. Ever see Kim Stanley as the goddess from 1957?
I can't stand to be alone. See, in the middle of the night sometimes, I wake up and I'm in a sweat.
It's a story based on the life of Marilyn Monroe.
Lester Brackman says that my bit is the standout bit of the whole picture.
The physical resemblance is non-existent, and there's no vocal resemblance either. But the performance is so riveting, so full of pathos and bravado, it's hard to imagine anyone doing it better.
I will not go down as the first American president to lose a war, going to Cambodia, bombing Hanoi, bombing Laos.
Anthony Hopkins as Nixon? Who would have thought it?
If we keep our heads, we'll win this thing.
What, win Vietnam, sir?
And yet, about midway through, I bought it. And some of them, for complicated reasons, don't work at all, which one could certainly say about Kevin Spacey, the incredible actor who went way out on a limb to play Bobby Darin in Beyond the Sea and made us wonder why.
I want it all. I want the major leagues. I want nightclubs. I want Vegas, movies, TV. This.
But it's a battle for an actor to do this, with a million influences, clues, traps, mysteries.
There's the method, there's the schmethod, there's the lethod, there's all kinds of ways of doing it. You never know where it's going to come from. You don't discourage any channel.
Actor and New School acting teacher Karen Ludwig, who, by the way, taught Philip Seymour Hoffman years ago. She went up for the part of Helen Keller's teacher in The Miracle Worker after Anne Bancroft had already created the role.
And when I went to audition for it, I said to my teacher, Uta Hagen, "Oh, God, I can't get Annie out of my mind. How can I?" She said, "Then don't. Then don't get her out of your mind. Let her be in you, something that you're identifying with." So
it makes you realize how ruthless actors have to be to do this, using absolutely everything from inside themselves, from outside, from the subject itself, from everybody they see and know to make something real, or sometimes even realer than real.
Someone once described it as lint. Some of it you pick off and throw away, and some of it you keep. That which is going to be helpful.
So a lot of good lint has stuck this year to help actors create performances that illuminate our relatively recent past. Are some real people sacred, beyond capturing? Maybe so. Maybe one, anyway.
I was once asked to play Humphrey Bogart. And I read the script and I said, "You can't do that." "You talk like this, sweetheart. I mean, he's in Casablanca, he's in Sierra Madre, Channel 11, turn to Channel 13, turn to the movie channel. He's on every night. The painting's been painted. He did it." I didn't know. I thought it would be a bad idea.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see just what lint Liebman might have collected on that one. But we'll just have to wonder. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of the Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of the Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.